You're listening to Awake, a men's podcast by Fellowship Bible Church. Welcome back to the Awake podcast. I'm your host, Liam, and today we are joined by Tim Walker. Tim, welcome to the Awake podcast.
It's good to be here.
Thanks for coming on to the show today. Tim, most of our listeners know who you are, but for those that don't, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and your family, your role at Fellowship, kind of your history here? Just feel free to share whatever.
Okay. So I have been at Fellowship for 7 years now. Just celebrated my 7th anniversary here. I am the student pastor here at Fellowship. Moved here from South Carolina, where I was a student pastor for almost 9 years at a church before coming here. But I was born and raised in North Carolina. So I'm a Tar Heel through and through. I have 3 kids and 1 wife.
Good.
Been
good.
Married to Tiffany for 21 years, a little over 21 years. And we have a daughter that's a senior in high school. And we have 2 sons, a sophomore in high school and a 7th grader. So all 3 are in middle school or high school. And next year we'll have 1 middle school, 1 high school, and 1 college, which
crazy.
Is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. You're entering into an interesting season of life right now, for sure. So, yeah. Guys, the reason why we wanted to bring Tim on to the podcast today was to continue our conversation on the topic of technology. And last month, we had Bill Horn come on and talk about technology and really kind of focus in on technology in our personal lives and some of our personal habits when it comes to technology and how it impacts our faith positively, negatively, the whole gambit. But we wanted to kind of shift the conversation to tech habits in the family. So we have a lot of listeners, a lot of guys in our men's ministry who have kids in a variety of different age ranges, probably a lot of them that have kids in the same age ranges as you. And that's why we wanted to invite you on today to kind of speak from your experience, not have an expectation that you have all the answers or know everything that's going to or should happen with technology, but to kind of share a little bit of your experience and wisdom and what's gone well, what's gone wrong, what would you do differently, and how can parents really make the most of being intentional with the technology that is in their home. So to start out our conversation, what are the tech habits, boundaries, and guidelines that you've established with your family? When did these things start, and how have your kids responded to them over time?
Yeah. First of all, let me just say that we are not perfect at this at all. We are still learning along the way, especially as we have older teenagers and then newer or younger teenagers. We have made a lot of mistakes in the past. We have learned from other people. So we haven't had a home phone in about 20 years, which I'm not sure very many people who have home phones now. But one of the things that we decided to do is as our kids have gotten older, like Selah, for example, as she got older and where she was allowed to stay at home by herself, we decided to get an additional cell phone on our plan that became our home phone. And with the idea that that phone would eventually become her phone when she showed us that she was responsible enough to take over that cell phone. So the interesting thing is between Selah and Josiah, they both received their cell phones at different ages because of the maturity and the responsibility. Isaiah, our youngest, he is a 7th grader. Like I said, he still doesn't have a phone. We have a home phone for him that will eventually become his, and I imagine in the next year, maybe 2 years, he will prove himself responsible to take over that phone. But for us, we, as far as boundaries go, we set up pretty strict limits on their phone. So when they receive their phone, they basically don't have access to anything besides texting and calling. And then once that phone actually becomes theirs, then we put strict limits on when they can use their phone. So as far as, anything besides texting or calling, 9 p.m. it shuts off, 7 a.m. it starts up. So they can't use it any time outside of that. And then we have strict limits on how much time they can use on certain apps. So I think for us, we have, an hour set for any social media, includes YouTube, Instagram for Josiah or Selah, and so on. So strict time limits on the apps. We don't allow any phones in the bedrooms. We know that bad things can happen when that happens.
Do you guys do that too?
No.
Okay.
We don't.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. I was just curious.
Do as I say, not as I do. And honestly, and I'll get to this a little more detail in a few minutes. Even for Selah, we have relaxed on some of that because we want her, before she does graduate and before she does head off to college, to have more freedom for that. So we have relaxed on some of that with her. They can't download any apps without permission. So we have that kind of boundary there. Internet was pretty much non-existent when they first received their phone. And then now only certain websites are permitted. So they can't go to just any site. Things like Instagram, that's really the only social media that our kids have besides, I guess, YouTube is considered social media. I'm not sure. But Instagram, Josiah just received his Instagram account. He's a sophomore. I think Selah received it about the same time. When friends come over to spend the night, they know that I collect phones at a certain time and they're not allowed to have their phones past that time. Now, when our kids go to someone else's house to spend the night, we can't really control that. But something I learned, it's probably been 10 or 15 years ago, I learned about this, that we have kind of told our kids about, is what we call the X factor.
Okay.
So when our kids are out and about with friends, it could be a spend the night, it could be just hanging out with friends. We told them if they ever are in a situation that they don't feel comfortable in, they can just text us the letter X, and we know that they're in a situation that they don't want to be in, and that we would be the bad guy, and we'll call and say, "Hey, something's come up. I need to come and pick you up to get them out of that situation." So,
that's a good idea.
We told them, "It's like I don't have a problem being the bad guy. So if you can somehow text me that, then." We can get you out of that situation. And recently, probably 2 weeks ago, I heard of a similar idea that I thought was really cool. And it is the code word pretty please.
Okay.
So, like I say, your daughter calls you, "Hey, Dad, can I go to so-and-so's house to hang out after school?" If she says pretty please, that's saying, "I really don't want to go, but I need you to tell me no so that I'm not put in a situation that I maybe shouldn't be in."
Gotcha.
So I thought that both those are pretty practical things.
Never thought of something like that before.
Yeah. So pretty please or the X factor. And then like going back to what I was talking about with Selah. So we're in this beginning process with Selah to release things to her technology and her phone to her. So Tiffany and I have come up with this plan that in January she has full access to her phone. And even things outside of that with curfew and different things, because we decided that that gives her about 6 to 8 months before she leaves for college. Which we want her to, if she's going to fail, if she's going to mess up, if she's going to make mistakes, then we'd rather her make those mistakes while she's at home with us so we can walk her through that versus when she's 2 hours away or 4 hours away at college and we're not close by to help in those situations. So like in January, we're giving her phone with no restrictions. She can download whatever she wants to download. She has full access to it.
Does she know this yet?
She does.
Okay. Yeah. I hope she doesn't listen to the podcast.
We've had a conversation.
Okay.
With her. So yeah, I mean, there's just a few things. Like I said, we're not perfect, but those are a few things that we do.
So can we back up for a little bit and tell me a little bit about how your kids responded to these boundaries, these habits? I remember when I was growing up, like the age 13, that was just what all of my parents' friends decided for their kids was the age they were, every kid was going to get a phone. I don't know why that was. It was completely arbitrary, but that was just the age. I got a phone when I was 13. My sister got her phone when she was 13. And that was just kind of the expectation. But from then on, there was basically no boundaries for how I used said technology, for screen time, any of that kind of stuff. It was fairly new. Smartphones were just starting to come out when I was in middle school-ish. So how have your kids responded to these boundaries? Have they been resistant to them? Have they been fairly welcoming and open for these conversations? What's it been like? Has it been different for all of your kids?
Yep. Depends on the day.
Yeah.
So today is what? it's so different for all of them. Sayla, for example, she never really asked for social media. She's never really. So when she finally got it, it was there. She didn't really use it. And honestly, she has deleted not her account, but the app on her phone probably 10 times over the past 3 years. Just going, I don't want to use it. Okay, I'm going to use it. And usually after a summer camp or a mission trip or something where she wants to kind of connect with people that she met or talk. Yeah. So she'll download the app again, use it for a while. Then, so Josiah, that's one of those depends on the day. We had a conversation even last week where he wanted more screen time for YouTube. And I was like, nope, you've used your limit and we're good. And he wasn't very happy with that. So I think for the most part, they are understanding. We never did a contract with our kids, which I wish we would have.
Tell me about that.
Well, it's kind of coming up later, but it's like a written out contract with this is how I will respond. This is how I will use my cell phone. And if you Google cell phone contracts, there's tons of them out there that you can adapt for your own. But
I'm
we did have
write
a lot
that down. I like that idea.
But we did have a lot of conversations with our kids with expectations before we release the phone to them. And to be real honest with you, there's times that we have to take their phone away from them, which honestly has become a great punishment for our kids, especially Josiah, who I think is more addicted to the phone than Sayla is. It depends on the day and depends on the mood of the teenager. So,
now, when you and Tiffany first started to like have conversations about having kids, technology was becoming more of a thing. Did you guys have a plan from the get go, or did that kind of worked out over time?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I remember I was talking with Brian about our last episode earlier today, and he was like, do you know that famous Mike Tyson quote? You know, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Yeah. And he's like, oh yeah, that kind of relates to how I feel right now when it comes to the ideas of technology. Like Allie and I are days away from having our first kid, and I have all these ideas of this is how I want our kids to use technology. And it's like, yeah, and then you get punched in the face, and it just doesn't work the way you think it's going to.
The interesting thing, by the time your child gets 13, and technology is going to look so much different than it does now. So.
Right, yeah. I don't even know what to expect. Yeah. It's just, I didn't know what to expect right now,
right.
Let alone what's going to be in the next 13, 14 years.
It's interesting.
Okay. Well, one of the things I want to jump down a little bit and come back to the second question in a minute, but what advice would you give to parents who feel like they might be starting from scratch or who need to backtrack with their kids regarding technology and social media use? Because I think there could be a lot of guys who listen to this and be like, man, I haven't been very intentional with the way that I have discipled my kids in the area of technology, and they don't want to do nothing. But it's like, how do you start to kind of work that in, or what would be your advice on that topic?
And that's where the contract, I think, comes in with that. Do a cell phone contract with your kids, especially if they have full range of everything on their phone. Honestly, I think it's going to be really hard to backtrack all of that, especially if they already have a phone. But to set up some boundaries with that. And then there's a program out there called Bark that, I think it's bark.us, which monitors, texts and emails and YouTube and Snapchat and Instagram and all these different social media platforms. And what they do is they look for signs for bullying or sexual content or online predators or depression or suicidal ideations or violence or language or, I mean, there's so many things that they kind of monitor. So we have that with our kids. And so it's like super, super sensitive. Mm-hmm. So even if our kids listen to a song by Lecrae, who's talking about drugs, like it'll send me a notification. Hey, your kids are listening to songs about drugs. And I look at it, it's like, oh, it's Lecrae. It's fine. But even Salem, when she was in eighth grade, she was, I think she was on yearbook staff or yearbook, whatever. And she was at a volleyball game taking pictures of the team. And there's a sign behind it that said, say no to drugs.
And it caught it that.
Flagged that.
Whoa.
That here's a content that may have something to do with drugs. So, and it sent me a notification. So I highly recommend Bark. And it's going to sound like I'm selling this, but
not a sponsor.
It's not a sponsor, but it is something that I get notifications multiple times a day. Hey, your kid's listening to this. Even Spotify, like any song on Spotify that has a curse word in it or has anything about depression, or which, you know, if you listen to Taylor Swift, I get notifications all the time. So, but it's just a great way to kind of, without having to take your kid's cell phone and look through everything, which is impossible to do, it does it for you, and it gives you a text. And it does cost money to do this. Okay. It's $100 a year. I do have a code, since I've been with them for so long, that's 20% off. So I don't know if we can throw that in the email or...
The code?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So...
Yeah, guys, if you're interested in checking Bark out, we'll include the discount code in our email that comes out at the end of the episode. So, yeah, take a look at that.
And then the last thing I would say is... Start now. Like, if you haven't done this in the past, or if you're behind on this, you got to start sometime. So instead of just letting it go, start now. It's okay if you feel like you're playing catch up or whatever on this, but set some clear boundaries when it comes to technology with your kids.
And I'm sure, this is me just speculating, but I'm sure it might lead to some uncomfortable conversations with your kids when they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing? Like, we've never had these expectations or boundaries before, but I think it'd be, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but work through those things.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
Like you said, start now.
Yeah.
Just do it. And
it's okay if you as a parent admits, hey, we've dropped the ball on this and we want to, this is not to punish you, but this is to protect you. This is, we do this because we love you.
Yeah.
They may not understand.
Right.
But
it's not, you saying like, hey kid, you're bad.
Right.
It's me saying like, I want to disciple you in this area and protect you from things that are dangerous and distraught. Even for us as adults, like, man, we still need protection and
for
all
sure
of that. Yeah. Any other thoughts there before we jump into our next topic?
I don't think so.
So I want to talk a little bit now about, and it was funny, we kind of talked about this a little bit and how technology has changed so much. You know, when I was in middle school, it's like, Facebook was just starting to become a thing. Was there social media when you were growing up at all? No.
I mean, MySpace was kind of college years.
Okay.
But I think I became a Facebook member in January of 2009.
Wow. Special day. So things have changed a lot. To put it simply, things have changed a lot. Social media is prolific. Internet usage is all the time and by everyone for everything, like school, entertainment, connecting with people.
It makes it really hard when teachers require you to use a cell phone in class.
Yeah.
I mean, especially our youngest son who doesn't have a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like he
really?
Yes. Even in
Seventh grade,
teachers were requiring you to bring a cell phone to use for an assignment.
Well, there's some pressure on you as a parent.
Yeah, for real.
So then as parents are kind of moving through these technological advancements, changes in social media and technology, what's the best way for parents to learn more about the social media platforms that kids are using and technology that's regularly used by the upcoming generation of kids?
So I'll give you some sites, and we can put these in the email as well. Okay. There's cpyu.org. It's a great site just if you want to read articles on how to stay on top of things. It's even hard for me to stay on top of things, and I work with students on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So they're on top of things, so they'll help you just learn about the apps that your kids are using. The parentq.org is another resource. More articles, but they also have a podcast that you guys can listen to. Not as good as this podcast, but it's there as well. access.org. This is a fun one. You can sign up for their newsletter, the Culture Translator, and they will send you one email a week on Friday, and it'll just help you stay up to date on the trends that are happening among our students, even language that they're using or TikTok trends that students are doing. So it will just kind of give you kind of a brief, this is what's happening in our culture this week.
That's even really
songs,
cool.
Yeah. Even songs that are hot right now and kind of the message behind those songs. And then I mentioned Bark already. But I think the biggest way to learn about what your kids are doing is to actually participate in the apps that your kids are using. So if they're on Snapchat, download Snapchat and be familiar with it. If they're on Instagram, download Instagram. No, so keeping up with technology is almost like learning a new language.
Yeah, it
like
can be for sure.
It is changing so much every day. And if you want to learn a language, you got to submerge yourself in that culture and in that language. So I think one of the best ways to do this is to download. So so our kids have Instagram. So I not only follow our kids, but I also follow a lot of their friends that are on Instagram. And when your kids are watching what you post, then they're going to be more held more accountable to what they're posting. Mm-hmm. But there is, have you heard of Finstas?
Like a fake Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that is something that I think a lot of parents are not aware of.
Okay.
Because a lot of times students will have a Instagram account that their parents are following, but then they'll have a Finsta, a fake Instagram account that their parents don't even know about. Right. That's when they post their things that
they don't want their parents to know about.
Their friends can see, but their parents, they don't want their parents to see.
Yeah.
And then just have conversations with your kids. You know, ask questions out of interest instead of judgment. Be curious. You know, ask your kids how they can help you keep up with technology. Ask them, you know, what is the coolest or the hottest app right now? How do you plan on using that app? Mm-hmm. What's so cool about this app? And a lot of times our kids want different apps because they heard their friends talk about it. And it's not really because they're intentionally trying to do something dumb or try to get a bad or a dangerous one. But they heard their friends talk about it and they want to download and be in the know and be one of the cool kids. Mm-hmm. So just spark conversations with them and just be in the know. Like,
yeah.
I have no desire to have a Snapchat account.
Right. Yeah, I don't either.
But I have one because our students in our ministry are using it. And like I hardly ever use it, but I know about it. I know what it does. I know the dangers behind it. Mm-hmm. The one I haven't gotten behind yet, which I think is fairly safe, is the Be Real.
Okay.
But I mean, part of this is because I have teenagers in my house, but the other part is my job is working with teenagers. And I want to know what they're using and how they're using it. So I have more things on my phone than I really desire to have. But
yeah, it's a interesting balance in what we talked about last week in our personal tech habits and, you know, wanting to set up these like limitations on ourselves, these boundaries on ourselves. But I think there is a balance of like wanting to understand the influences that our kids are facing and the things like how the platforms work, I think is a really important thing to know and understand so that you can have those kinds of conversations. And like the thing that I get from you is taking on a posture of curiosity with your kids and navigating those conversations with them in a way of seeking understanding of like, why do you want this? Like, what do you think this does? How does it benefit you? All of these kinds of things. And it seems like a big part of this is really helping kids navigate the peer relationships and peer pressure that's around them, because it might seem like the majority of kids and their families might not have a lot of intentionality behind technology use. And so when you come in and you kind of impose these technological limitations and boundaries, it can feel really restrictive. So it seems like there's a real importance in helping your kids being able to navigate kind of peer pressure.
There's even a new app that came out. I can't remember the name of it, but like August of this year, or it's a newer app. And it's an app where middle school kids or high school kids can like download their schedule and share it with their friends and different things. But anyone, like any predator, can create a fake account and have access to your student's schedule.
Oof.
And so again, one of my kids asked, "Hey, can I download this app?" I'm like, I did some research on some of these sites. It's like, nope, you can't. I mean, there's too much danger. And he wanted it because his friends had it, and his friends were sharing their schedule with him, and he wanted to share his schedule with their friends. So, I mean, you just got to do research.
Yeah.
You got to do the work to learn about the apps that your kids are using, and it may cause you to delete some apps that your kids are using.
Yeah.
And we could spend a whole episode just talking about the dangers of different apps, honestly. There's a lot of bad ones out there that your kids should not be using. So.
Well, let's talk about that just a little bit. I don't want to go down that rabbit trail too much, but in kind of broad terms, what have been or what are some of the positive and negative impacts of technology on on the relationships that you've seen amongst your kids and kids you minister to in Surge?
I mean, I think there's some positive, obviously. When I came up with this list, I came up with a lot more negative than positive.
Yeah, it seems natural.
But, I mean, some positives are just, you know, connection with their peers. Mm. Like, especially, I kind of mentioned Selah, when we do a mission trip to Costa Rica and she wants to connect with some of the people she met there, it just helps keep connections, which I think is good. It strengthens relationships, which is a good thing, or friendships. It can reduce feelings of loneliness, but at the same time, it can also enhance. That could be a negative feelings of loneliness, especially, I mean, I don't know why, but people share their location with other friends.
Mm-hmm.
And if a friend looks at, or someone looks at their phones, like, oh, all my friends are hanging out at so-and-so's house and they didn't invite me, then that can cause a lot of feelings that you shouldn't, that's unnecessary to have.
Yeah.
But another positive is sharing common interests, or just giving students a voice. And there's a unique story with this. We have a student who was a part of our ministry, I guess, before COVID, and he kind of stopped coming after that. But he has a pretty big platform on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
He has over 1 million followers on TikTok.
Whoa.
Instagram, he has almost 100,000 followers. YouTube, he has almost 300,000 followers. And he would just do random dumb videos and just created a huge buzz and created a huge following. But over the last year or so, he's kind of turned his message towards God and started to share the gospel through his TikTok and through these different platforms. So that's a huge positive.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that he can do, that he has an audience that I don't have, that no one else has. And he can, you know, share about a cause or share the gospel through that. Or you can use social media to invite friends to church or invite friends to Surge. Like even when we had our fall kickoff a few weeks ago, it was so cool just to look through Instagram and see how many of our students are just posting, hey, come to Surge this week. It's going to be an awesome week. So, I mean, those are all positive things that that can have an effect on your friends in a good way. The negative, I think one of the big ones is it robs them of relational equity. So it distracts them from real life.
Mm-hmm.
It diminishes real world empathy. So continuous exposure to digital interactions might diminish a child's ability to empathize with others with face-to-face interactions or situations. There's the comparison trap, mm-hmm. where students can measure their worth based on what they're seeing with their friends. The friends went to this vacation, or my friends have this car, and I don't have that car. I mean, so just that comparison trap, which can lead to jealousy or envy towards your friends, mm. that can bring out other emotions towards them. A lack of focus. And so this is something that we see in our student ministry, where I think the attention span of students are decreasing by the year because they live in this real world, R-E-E-L, mm-hmm. where these reels or these TikToks or even YouTube has it now, these yep. shorts. I mean, they're all doing the
quick
same thing.
Hit, very
it's
fast.
15 seconds, hit it, and then next thing, 15 seconds, then the next thing, 15 seconds. And they are just watch these things for hours, just flipping through these reels. And I think it's hard for them in school, but it's also hard for them here in the church mm-hmm. to pay attention for a long time or a longer period of time. It's easy to bully. There's apps out there made for this. There's an app called Whisper where it allows you to share content or communicate with others without being identified. So anonymously just bullying people. Anxiety is at an all-time high right now. And I think a lot of that is connected with social media and technology. It's kind of the idea of keeping it with the Joneses, mm-hmm. you know, kind of what we talked about a few minutes ago. And then there are some dangers of some different apps that are definitely a negative. Snapchat is a big one. And we don't necessarily have to get into the details, but there's so much negative with Snapchat that if your kid has it, you need to delete it. TikTok, where you're just scrolling through these short videos and without warning, you're getting sexual content or violence or different things. There's different vault apps, which a lot of parents have no idea that they exist. But the main one is a calculator vault, where it looks like a calculator. It even works like a calculator. But you put in this like 4-digit code, and it takes you to the secret storage where you can have photos that your parents can't see or other content that your parents don't have any access to that, or they don't even know it's there.
Yeah.
Because the app looks like a calculator, and mm-hmm. it works like a calculator. There's a lot of negative. And I think the enemy, he wants nothing more than to use technology to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. And technology, I think, is not evil in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But it can lead to all kinds of evil among not only our teenagers, but even us.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think another negative too is, and we've kind of danced around this with a couple of these different negatives, but how powerful, particularly social media, is in identity formation. Mm-hmm. And there's one pastor that I've listened to who, because of this, didn't want his kids to have social media until they turned 18 because he wanted them to form their identity offline.
Sure.
Which I totally understand the value. That is not an expectation by any means that everybody has to do that. But man, it is so hard to live in a world where everything is online and yet there's so much danger and risk online, and to find the balance between engagement in a good and a righteous way and not wanting to just pull completely offline and go off grid.
Yeah. It is hard. It's a hard balance between the two.
So what have you found to be some particular passages of scripture? And we can kind of close with this thought. Like, what are some particular passages of scripture or biblical stories that have helped you as you've thought through the issue of technology in the family?
Yeah. I mean, a couple came to mind. I'm sure there's more out there, but I think just the Shema in Deuteronomy 6, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So, I mean, kind of like I said a few minutes ago, this the world is continually screaming at our kids about their identity, who they are. And, I mean, the enemy wants to place these labels on our kids. And if we can make a habit out of pointing our kids back to the love of Christ and what Christ did for them and who they are in Christ, and help them find their identity in Christ, then hopefully they will be secure in that. Mm-hmm. They would not have the insecurities that our kids have. And then I think another one that is pretty fitting for this is Romans 12:2, where Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world," which again, I think social media, the enemy is trying to use social media to form our kids. But he says, "Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Hmm. So just realizing that there is an enemy who wants to use whatever he can, and for students and for adults too, but mainly for students, he will use technology and social media to try to conform you and to conform your thinking. But if we can remain true to God by renewing our mind, by studying his word, by being in community and so on, then that will help us to not conform to the patterns of this world, but to understand what God's will is for our life, that his will is good and it's perfect and it's pleasing to us if we'd simply submit to that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really good word to wrap up our conversation. So guys, I just want to encourage you, have these kinds of conversations with your kids, with the word of God and the truths of God and the beauty of the gospel in full view, helping to redirect their eyes and attention back to what is most important. That's ultimately what we want, is not to just eliminate technology or to say that it's all bad all the time in every way, but to really help our kids fix their eyes on who God is, just like Tim was saying, and to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. So, guys, I hope that this has been an encouraging conversation for you as you seek to understand more of the impact of technology in your own life and the lives of your families. And so I pray that this conversation will spur on more conversations together as you guys gather together in your groups, but also be on the lookout for that email coming out soon that'll give you a little bit more information on what some of these websites are where you can learn more about different social media platforms, technology that's regularly being used, as well as the Bark app with the discount code. So we appreciate you guys being a part of this ministry with us. Thank you for tuning in regularly to the Awake Podcast. We will see you guys next time.